they are going to become more brutal.
Corny cut, henny cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
A Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. And that's Distant Thunder, and my colonized name and taxpayer name is Robert Pilot. And we discuss national and local Native issues. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. I want to welcome Wendy and Ogama. And Wendy, give it to me.
Hey, this segment is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You could reach them Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. at 651-304-9986 with your COVID-19 questions.
Well, each day we started up with the news. I just want to, before we go to Ogama, I just want to say, hey, we got a great show today. We have Robert Lilligren of NADCI, and we also have Tara Hauska. And she's a lawyer, and she defends the water up in the deep north. And maybe we'll hear a little bit more from Ogama about that. So, you know, each day we start out with the news, and here's the news with Ogama.
Hi, bonjour, everyone. This is Ogama Ganui Kwe. Today's Thursday, January 28th, 2021. Thank goodness we're not in 2020 anymore. Today I've got some information for you on Line 3 calls to action. So tonight at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, you can tune in for virtual Line 3 calls to action with MN350. That is going to be a biweekly event to get an update on the status of Line 3, upcoming opportunities to get involved and stop it. So whether you've been involved in the movement for years or you're brand new and looking for a place to engage, this is a call that can help you connect and share information on different action opportunities. You can go to mn350.org/events and click the Line 3 action calls to get the Zoom link. Tomorrow in St. Paul, there's going to be a Save the Water, Revoke the Permits rally that starts at 3:30 p.m. and runs until 5:30 p.m. at Kellogg Park. They're going to gather at Kellogg Park and march together four blocks to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineer office. That's the organization that issued the permits for Line 3. They're going to be demonstrating to the powers that be that they will not allow business as usual to carry on. Indigenous water protectors and allies are putting their bodies on the line to disrupt the construction of Line 3. Let's show them that they don't stand alone. It is a family-friendly event. Make sure to wear masks and practice social distancing and wear warm clothes. On Friday, there's going to be Fridays for the Future, Rally for Climate, Water, and Treaty Rights. That is hosted at the Welcome Water Protector Center at the Great River and hosted by Honor the Earth. That starts at 4 p.m. Central Time at the Welcome Water Protector Center. So that is going to be a rally at the Riverside in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. So they're going to gather on Pokagama Avenue Bridge over the Mississippi River to show support for the movement and to stop Line 3 and to hope for a just transition, bring banners, signs, songs, and good spirits. And then one more event going on this weekend in Mankato, and it is an event sponsored by Indivisible, St. Peter, and Greater Mankato, and MN350. At 12 p.m. until 1 p.m., there's going to be a meeting at Minnesota Square Park to stand in solidarity with Native and Indigenous water protectors to fight the oil pipelines that violate treaty rights and threaten the environment. They do recommend that you bring signs and warm clothes. It is a family-friendly rally. You can follow the link on the page from Facebook to find out what items need to be donated to the camps. They are also having a supply drive at that one. So, Robert, I just want to touch base in here, too, about what else is kind of going on here. Did you hear the news on the Dakota Access yet?
No, I haven't, but there's an update. It's in court, right? And this is going to be big. Big if it goes our way, which it should, and it'd be a precedent to what's happening with pipelines all across Turtle Island.
Yes, so from EcoWatch, a federal judge struck down the appeal for the Dakota Access Pipeline. So a three-judge panel on the U.S. District Court of Appeals from the D.C. Circuit agreed on Tuesday with the lower court ruling that the pipeline's crossing at the Missouri River near the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation is illegal and requires the in-depth environmental review. So that was the review that Trump just went ahead and bypassed by giving the permit. So this is really, really exciting news, and hopefully that is something that, you know, President Biden will take into account when he's talking about shutting down more pipelines, hopefully. We're all hoping for that, right?
We are.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think it's looking good the way things are going, and we just got to stay vigilant because this is not the last party we'll be trying to sway the politicians on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm really excited about President Biden. There's been this big rush that he's done in this past full week in office. So he's done four more executive orders this past week. One of the big ones that I'm excited about is he signed an executive order directing the Attorney General not to renew Department of Justice contracts with privately operated criminal detention facilities. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people who are, you know, for equity in the United States understand what happens when you privatize the prison system. It's no longer about putting people in a place where they can learn from their mistakes, and it becomes about making money. So Biden has done away with that, which I think is really a really great first step. Another one that he did this week was directing the Department of Housing and the Urban Development to examine the effects of the Trump administration's regulatory actions that, quote, undermined fair housing policies and laws. So based on the analysis from this article, the memo also directs HUD to take steps to fully implement the requirements of the Fair Housing Act. So apparently they weren't implementing those before this, but they're going to have to now, which is another really big step and a super important thing that's happening right now. We have a lot of unhoused relatives in the United States, especially in urban areas. There's another executive order pushing federal agencies to regularly and meaningfully engage with tribal governments. Hello, Biden. Welcome. We're happy to see you.
Right? Wow. Oh, my gosh. I've been sleeping really well since the inauguration. So.
Me too. My hair doesn't look good when I wake up, but I've been sleeping really good.
Oh, my gosh. It's just a breath of fresh air that he's really taking hold of all these really important issues that really matter to a lot of people. So I'm really happy.
Hey, I just want to say.
Yeah, and the last one that I have.
Okay, go ahead. We got a minute left. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. The last one is that he's got a memorandum directing the Health and Human Services Department to create an equity task force to consider issuing best practices for cultural competency and sensitivity toward Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders as part of its COVID-19 response. Mm-hmm. After Trump, you know, invited that sort of racism with his comments about people from the Asian countries across the ocean from us with COVID-19. I'm happy to see that as well.
He was saying China. And he also was
the China virus.
Yeah, he's calling it the China
Kung Fu virus.
And plus, yeah, plus he, I mean, there was a lot of students that when that first came out at my school, we have a high population of Hmong students, were being abused by people. So, yeah, I'm glad reality and goodness is coming out now. So,
yeah, I'm glad for that, too. It's a long time coming, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to say something real quick. We're on Facebook Live, and I just want to say to Mac, Wendy and I are married, and so we never leave the house. That's why we're not wearing masks right now. So I just wanted to – if you're new to the show, I just wanted to let you know. And Ogama is like 300 miles away.
Yeah, she's on Facebook. We're in our house in our home studio. That's why it's so messy. So.
Yeah, well, but, it's not
that's
that.
A good question, though, because we should be, you know, masked up if we're not where we're supposed to be. So
that's right. Hey, yeah. Up next, Robert Lilligren, and then Tara Hauska. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
MN3 350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org, mn350.org, or find us on Facebook at mn350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Works St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Anine, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. That you could reach them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Hey, so what day is it, Wendy?
Today is Thursday.
No, it's Robert Lilligren Day. Welcome, Robert. Robert works with NADCI and many other organizations, and we like to touch base with Robert once a week and see what's happening here in the Minneapolis Twin City area in Native country. Welcome, Robert.
Yeah, thanks, Pujo. Thanks for having me.
Cool. So we always seem to not have enough time when we talk, and let's catch up and what's going on over here in Minneapolis. I'd like you to let us know, and then if I have a question, I'll raise my hand.
Yeah, thanks. And I always appreciate your talking. And today I thought maybe we could talk a little about a couple of sort of national urban Indian initiatives, conversations that I've been part of today and just in the last, very recently. And I just think they're really exciting developments. So the one is an upcoming event. It's actually happening tomorrow. It's the virtual kickoff for what's called the National Coalition to End Urban Indigenous Homelessness.
Wow.
And under the leadership of Colleen Echohawk out in Seattle, she's the ED of the Chief Seattle Club, and she has been convening these kind of first kind of informal and now more formalizing to build this coalition, this national coalition of urban Indian organizations and people working to end, to support our relatives who sleep outside and to end Indigenous homelessness. And so tomorrow at, let's see, what time is it here? It's 3 p.m. Eastern time, so I guess 2 p.m. Central time, is a virtual kickoff event to sort of kick off this national coalition. And the conversations I've been part of to date, you guys, have just been incredible, just rich, and it's amazing to hear what our brothers and sisters in other cities are doing to best serve our unsheltered relatives. And I'm really looking forward to what this coalition brings.
You know, that's saying a lot when it coming from you because of your experience and been around here on Ground Zero when nothing's been happening on Turtle Island.
Yeah, well, and a lot has been happening, and that's kind of the thing, you know, when you look to Seattle, the Chief Seattle Club itself, you know, it's this kind of holistic service center for unsheltered relatives, and now they're building housing as well. And the visionary leader who's bringing us together, Colleen Echohawk, is running for mayor in Seattle, which is wow. super exciting. Yeah, she just announced. But, and then you have these, what's going on in Phoenix, and these projects in LA that are really beyond anything we're doing here in the Twin Cities, and all of those communities really look to us as sort of the policy leaders, the advocacy leaders, just because of our rich history here, you know, with the founding of AIM and, you know, our density of organizations that are working on behalf of the community. And so I think they're just doing this incredible work, and they just, you know, they look to us for sort of leading in this policy direction. And so that sharing and that partnering amongst urban Indian communities nationwide, I just think it has all the potential in the world.
Well, Robert, I know you have a few things, but I have a quick statement and question. The governor, in I believe it's his budget, is giving a grip load of money to people working on the Murdered and Missing Indigenous Task Force. Did you see that? That was unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, and thanks again to our advocates and our Native sisters who serve in the legislature, and especially now State Senator Kunesh Podine for their work in this, and just for raising so much awareness. You know, I think it's just shocking and startling to people when they start hearing real statistics about missing and murdered Indigenous women. And so to get the task force created was huge, but to get resources is, of course, even huger. And coming into February, you know, and we have so much MMIW activities going on here, you know, it's important to raise that issue. It's important to put resources behind it.
Yeah, and what you were saying before, Robert, I really hope that, you know, the Native American people who are unsheltered right now do get help very soon, you know, before the winter ends. So.
Right. Yeah. And so if folks are interested in that conversation, you can just go to endindigenoushomelessness.org, endindigenoushomelessness.org. And this virtual, you could register for this virtual kickoff if you're interested. And here, you know, we've, through Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, have been convening a weekly community strategy meeting conversation about how best to serve our relatives who are sleeping outside and struggling with opioid use. And it's just this incredible group. We've been meeting for over a year ago October. We meet virtually now, of course, but it's just this rich dialogue, solutions oriented. We have all these state agencies and county agencies, city, that come to these meetings to learn how better to address and to end the need for people to be sleeping in places unfit for human habitation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's terrible. What a terrible situation. I don't even know what to say about it. It's just horrible.
Yeah. You know, and we can't forget, because it's a thing, you know, and it's always a thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right up here on between, like, 94 and Snelling Avenue, they had a homeless shelter.
Camp.
A camp there.
A camp.
It's not even a shelter. It's a camp. And I'm not sure whether they got those people out of there or not.
I think that camp has been cleared, but I think the one you're talking about.
So, so it's cleared, but then where do those people go?
Well, East Franklin Avenue, you know, the American Indian Cultural Quarter, there's a little camp set up literally right on the sidewalk outside of a grocery store. You know, it's blocking most of the sidewalk. I mean, people have to go somewhere, right?
Yeah. And,
you know, it's just a really harsh reminder that we have failed.
Exactly. You know, I mean, what do you just keep doing? Moving them along and along and along until they just have to keep moving?
We need to get them a safe place. And I think one of the things that's happening is, you know, with Mike Gozzi and his group are really really in the forefront, getting these overnight places to stay and secure places. And there's other groups too, right, Robert?
Oh, yeah, there's a ton. You bring up Mike Gozzi. That's American Indian Community Development Corporation, AICDC. They've just been doing groundbreaking outreach and really listening to the community and designing models of long-term supportive housing that just really wraps those intense services that a lot of people who are experiencing unsheltered homelessness need. And so he has been in the forefront. And I will say, since our the first occupation of the Wall of Forgotten Natives here in Minneapolis, the very large encampment that was in a very visible spot on Franklin Avenue in Hiawatha. Since then, there's just been this systemic acknowledgement that this is a particularly, that an issue that impacts the Native community particularly hard, and Native voices need to be in the center of any kind of solutions, policy, and funding. And I feel like our community has really stepped up and filled that role and is engaging now in the systemic part of it.
Absolutely. And Robert, I think the really good things have come out of these encampments. This first one where people are aware. I mean, I don't think people were aware how underneath bridges people used to stay, and then all of a sudden they put these things so they can't stay there. So, I mean, it's just, it's almost a battle against them, and it's been so, you know, in the background and underground.
You're right. You're right. And it was the Wall of Forgotten Natives that was really that game changer, right? It was right next to Highway 55, right next to the light rail. Literally tens and tens of thousands of people, maybe hundreds of thousands, went by that very visible encampment every day. And people couldn't pretend any longer. You know, they couldn't pretend it was a few people sleeping under bridges here and there, and that it was a chronic failure to support people, some of our most vulnerable relatives.
Yeah. Hey, I got a little jelly this week. I saw you get a shot. Is that true? Is that what I
thought? Oh, my gosh. I did. It was a case of right place, right time, I'll tell you.
You.
Yeah, thanks. I've got my first. Thank you. Thanks. And people have been so supportive, you know, and I didn't butt in line in front of anyone. I was on the list at the Indian Health Board Clinic here in Minneapolis, and, you know, they get it that's going to expire, or they have to use up what's opened every day. So they call through their list, and I'm maybe a cohort or tier two down from who they're prioritizing right now, but they needed to use this up, you know, and so on very short notice, I could get there very quickly. You know, I went up to the Indian Health Board Clinic and got my first shot. And
exciting.
It's super exciting.
Really,
you know,
exciting.
And I'm tempted to feel a little guilty for getting it before other people, but I guess, you know, the more people that are immune, the better for everyone.
And don't feel guilty.
And
about
it was going to go to waste if I didn't get it.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, we want to give you a shout-out for that. And one of the things, we only got a minute left here, and one of the things I wanted to say is we should maybe have a national holiday for the day that Bob Kroll handed in his badge. That's all I just got to say to him.
Oh, yeah. Right. Jeez. Right. And so for listeners who don't know, Bob Kroll was the head of the Minneapolis Police Federation, the police union here. And the union itself is one of those pieces of the whole system that kind of holds some bad behaviors in place, historically bad behaviors, violence, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think that Bob Kroll, as the president, was kind of a chief perpetuator of that.
Well, I want to say, Pini Gigi, thank you so much for spending some time with us, Robert Lilligren, and it's always our pleasure to have you on and hear information. Up next, Tara Hauska. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, Cudigee to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilots Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pini Gigi, and thank you for your support.
Rudy Luther Toyota's top-notch service department will keep your car ready for winter driving. Now through the end of January, get a Toyota TruStart battery replacement and installation with 24-month roadside assistance coverage for as low as $139.95. Offer excludes hybrid batteries. Also, Rudy Luther Toyota has your oil change and filter. 5 quarts with conventional oil is $39.95, and 5 quarts with synthetic is $61.95. These deals run through January. Get the service and maintenance you deserve at a great price at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, confidential, and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline available at 1-844-762-8483 or by using the chat now icon at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, host of The Bradcast. We'll expose and make sense of all of our current political nightmares and more every weeknight at 7 on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Alicia Luther-Toms, Certified Financial Planner with RBC Wealth Management. I'm part of an all-woman financial advisor team with combined experience of over 40 years. Whether it's leaving something for your loved ones, enjoying your own retirement, or giving to a favorite charity, we'll help you plan, and there's no better time than right now. This is Alicia Luther-Toms at 612-770-4460 or alicia.luther.toms at rbc.com.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Works St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
And we're here, and we may go to Jay Selby's later on. They're on 169 Victoria Street for some plant-based food, and I might just get a dirty secret.
Yeah, that sounds good. I just want their fries. They're delicious fries.
There you go.
Well, we always have, regulars that are spilling back into Native Roots Radio. And today we have Tara Hauska, and mm-hmm. she is with the Gnu Collective up north, and they are working hard and battling the pipeline,
mm-hmm.
Line 3. They're one of the groups up there. It's a separate group, and they've been there for a couple of years prior to this all coming down. So a lot of power to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tara's a lawyer. She was – her beginning of her career, I remember we talked about, was with the racist logos and things like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Her history is really interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. She's been around for a while, and she was a lawyer and doing an internship with the ICWA, and really saw all that and face up, and now she's a big time speaker. She has TED Talks, and she's world renowned. And we're mm-hmm. always good to have her come back on the show. Welcome, Tara.
Ooh.
Really want to check in with you up in the deep north. What's happening, and what can you tell our listening audience?
Hey, Rob, we really appreciate the space and your continued coverage and all the awesome work you do for Indian Country. The Line 3 fight is continuing on. The escalation from law enforcement has been pretty significant in recent weeks. We're closing in on just under 100 arrests at this point, and fighting tooth and nail to try to protect our territory up here and stand up for the wild rice and stand up for what's right for future generations. You know, it's kind of like a all out ground sprint at this point. I mean, we've got different work sites that are, some of the workers are going 24 hours a day. There's spotlights all over the place. Law enforcement has been pretty inconsistent, with their, typical, like, kind of, you know, engagement when it comes to, you have to issue dispersal notices and let people know, like, where you can stand, where you can't stand. We just had folks on Monday that were arrested in Cass County, and that's like a concerning situation. You know, there was a, it sounds like there wasn't a dispersal notice, and they just kind of showed up and threw them all in. You know, I think I'm looking and hopeful to continue on the meetings that we've had with Biden transition team members and the incoming administration. Pushing really hard on that and trying to get together with as many elected officials and administrators as possible. It sounds like Congresswoman Omar is actually planning on maybe making a visit and checking out the territory up here and putting her voice behind the opposition to Line 3.
Wow.
There's obvious need for federal review. There is not a federal level EIS that's been done, and the tribal cultural resources need to be considered. I mean, I'm sure you guys saw like the DAPL pipeline,
yeah,
and that big loss they just had in court. I mean, that's like very similar issues, right? Like you gotta do those things if you're gonna try to destroy the sacred and all that. And it's time for a different page in history to be turned. So
exactly,
and I'm go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. What I was going to say is, and you know, all these things, and who's keeping track of what's going on up there? I mean, they're not supposed to be going crossing the Mississippi when it's frozen. There's all these things that are happening, and it's like Enbridge and Dakota Access. They're just giving everyone the finger and doing whatever they want.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of seems to be like the standard MO for a lot of these companies. You know, they come in, they decide they want to put in another project, they want to build another mine, they want to expand the tar sands, they want to expand a fracked gas, fracked oil, and they basically like bring in pipes and do all the things that they can get away with, basically trying to like signal to the public, like, we're going to get this anyway, so just like, you know, sign up for a temporary job. And that's kind of like their operating practice, right? And then when it comes to Indian country, yeah, we're in direct blatant violation of your treaty rights and your territory, your ceded or unceded territory. But we're going to do it anyway, and maybe it'll play out in court. Maybe we'll lose later on, but we'll see what happens. And I think that's kind of like, at least for me, looking into the Dakota Access situation, I'm interested to see what the precedent that'll be set in this scenario is. Like, are they just going to get fined? And they did something illegal and put a pipeline through the territory and just get some fine later on? I mean, then they just factor it into their overall costs, right?
Exactly.
Just like they factor in oppressing our freedom.
That's it in a nutshell right there. Tara Hauska, how can we or my listeners support your action up there? Can you give a quick website, Patreon, or whatever you got going on so we can have our allies support your work up there?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the support is definitely appreciated. And if you can make your way north, you know, please reach out. Visit our page at GNU Collective. And check out stopline3.org. Maybe get yourself, you know, up to speed if you're trying to look for the latest on what's happening on the various pieces of the fight. And there's a lot of folks to support on Linktree/stopline3.
Mm-hmm.
There's different camps that have gone up, different places that definitely could use support. And you know, there's a lot of ways to get involved, and that includes spreading the word and pushing on the governor, pushing on your elected officials and all that to try to, I guess, both pressure the state, and I'm more hopeful actually pressuring the feds to do the right thing.
That's right. Well, I know your time's limited and you're doing a lot of great things up there and for our people and for the water, and you have been for a long time, and I know you're busy, and I just want to say Pinigigi for stopping in for these few minutes to give us a quick update.
Yeah, and Chamiigwech, like I said, for your taking the time and effort and your constant work to provide space for different voices in Indian country. So we all stay connected together.
Pinigigi. Wow, that was great.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
She is awesome. And, you know, it's so important to have all different voices talk about this.
Yeah.
The same thing. So there's so many people who really care about Line 3, the Earth. I was reading something just the other day, and it came from Winona LaDuke, saying that, you know, they're digging up there for Line 3 with these big machines. And I didn't even realize that, but these big machines are going through, you know, they're, you know, lifting up the earth and making what's happening? It's digging up where the bears hibernate.
What?
Some of the trucks are going right through hibernating bear
dens.
Yeah. I couldn't find that word in my mind, but yes.
Isn't I always that, wish we had a den. That's why I thought
isn't
of it.
Isn't that horrible?
It's really horrible.
Really sad.
And so. And it's beautiful, beautiful area up there. And I think the people up there, if they knew what was going on, they would be appalled, no matter who they voted for.
Yeah, they really would. It's terrible. Today I got an email from a group called Friends of the Boundary Waters, and I get emails from them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to stop the fracking, right? The fracking and the mining up there, Lake Superior and the Boundary Waters.
Right. That's the next battle we talk about, PolyMet.
PolyMet, yeah. But I loved, you should look them up, Friends of the Boundary Waters, and they had this link. It was so easy for me to just click on and you just fill in your information, and it sent it right to our representative and our senator in our area so that they knew that. And I already got emails from both of them back. That was earlier today.
Yeah.
So it's like simple things that you could do that literally takes 5 minutes, and it could make such a big difference just by get in touch with your representatives.
I had a conversation today. I'm not going to say with who, but a higher political entity in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, our politicians know what's going on, mm-hmm. and they hear us too. So we just have to keep it up, you know.
Keep it up. Call them over and over and over again. I probably leave a message on Governor Wall's line once a week about the Line 3.
Yeah.
And if you want, I have his number right here. I have it memorized practically. So if anybody wants to call Governor Walls and just leave him a polite message on why you do not want Line 3 in Minnesota, 651-201-3400. I'll say it one more time, 651-201-3400.
Yeah.
Most of the time you don't get through to anybody, but he does have a voicemail and you just leave a message. And it is timed, so you have to. You can't go on and on. You just have like a minute or something. So just have your thoughts down and
bullet points.
It. Yeah.
Hey, I just want to give a shout out to everybody that supports us on our Patreon, Patreon Native Roots Radio.
Yes, thank you.
That
so
is
much.
So huge.
It is huge.
It's kept us going because we lost a lot of our advertisers during the summer with COVID, and you know a lot of them aren't coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, and so. That's Patreon Native Roots Radio Network, I do believe.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Good. And I'm just really, really happy and pleased to be on 5 days a week and be able to share people like Robert Lilligren, Winona LaDuke, Tara Hauska.
Mary Kunish.
Yep, she's gone tomorrow.
Dr. Stately, he's on Mondays.
Tuesday, we have Nancy Bolio up there in Bemidji 350 and also Rise Coalition. And she kind of has her guests. That's kind of our day off where we just kind of kick back. But
we let Nancy do the work.
Yeah, we're really excited. So we just are really blessed And we want to let you all know that we're really grateful for people that are listening to the show, mm-hmm. and then also supporting our sponsors and letting our sponsors know, and then also supporting us in Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's so important to what you want to do, Robert, what we're all about, Ogama too.
Right, and it's really cool to hear, you know, people like Tara saying thank you for doing the great work and things like that.
Getting the word out. Yep,
yeah.
That's what we're all about.
And that's what we're trying to do here. Mm-hmm. And we have been, and it's really, you know, adding Ogama these past couple years mm-hmm. have been a blessing. And
absolutely.
And the news and the background stuff that she does mm-hmm. and keeps on doing, I mean, she works more than 40 hours a week, I'll tell you that. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with our sacred animal section. This is Native Roots Radio.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, you know, I always love to bring this portion of the show up, and Wendy and I and Ogama get to talk about the show. But we also like to talk about animal issues before we talk about the show again. And so I have questions for you, Wendy. I'm prepared.
You're prepared. I love it.
I'm totally prepared. So, hey, this is our animal section. And why don't you introduce yourself in
sure.
a good way?
My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. So I always like to thank Curtis for that beautiful name. And I am a volunteer state council member for the Humane Society of the United States. And I work on animal issues at the state and local. So I really enjoy doing that. And today, what I'm going to be talking about is I have an article here from New York Curbed Wildlife. It's an article, and it was just dated yesterday, January 27th, 2021, and it was written by Billy Blackmore. And this is a fun article, and I'm happy to talk about something happy again. So a couple of days I talk about happy things, and then a couple of days I talk about not so happy things, but today is a happy thing.
Yay.
So he goes on to say, yes, 2020 was a terrible for most things, but it was a banner year for order, Strigiformans in New York City.
What is Order Strigiformans? What the?
I had to look it up. It's Strigiformans. Order Strigiformans are owls, are birds of the order Strigiformans, which include 200 different species of mostly solitary birds who are nocturnal and birds of prey. And they have an upright stance and large, broad heads, binocular vision, and they could hear with both ears. They have sharp talons, and their feathers are adapted by silent flight. So these this owl in New York City, and now 2021 is already outcasting it. A snowy owl was spotted in Central Park for the first time since 1890. So this is really exciting news.
Oh, where do the snowy owls usually live, Wendy?
Well, normally normally they're Arctic residents. Some of the stark white owls, which have a wingspan of up to 5 feet, move farther south during the winter, supplementing their diet with mice and other rodents, which we all know are abundant in New York City. They're relatively found more commonly in upstate New York and even wilder stretches of the southern New York, like the dunes of Jones Beach and even Randall's and Liberty Islands. Now, when I talk about Jones Beach, I grew up on Long Island.
I couldn't
tell. And although I didn't live in Manhattan, most of my formative years and younger years growing up on Long Island, my friends and I spent almost every weekend in Manhattan or at the beach. We just loved it. But anyway, when I saw that these birds are usually at Jones Beach and even Randall and Liberty Islands, it brought back a lot of memories. And even a few years ago, one showed up in a courtyard of the city jail on Rikers Island.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that funny?
Wow.
But this appearance in the park is an extremely rare entity. Unlike the saw-wheat, drab-colored barren, or uniquely tufted, the long ear owl, a snowy owl is far easier to spot, especially when there's no snow on the ground. The bird that's in the park now was spotted near the North Meadow Hanging, and it was hanging around the ball fields with an American crow. So this little snow owl and a black crow have been hanging around together. They kind of made friends.
Sounds like cartoon I used to watch.
Well, the city's growing bird community have dropped everything and rushed to the park, and urban park rangers are on the same scene to help control crowds and keep the people at a distance because they don't really want to, you know, scare this owl away. Also, in New York City's Central Park, they've found more eagles. This winter, which is really unusual. They're not really sure why they're seeing more eagles in Central Park, but they did say that they do see eagles more often in Central Park in the winter because there's lots of trees around and there's rivers, right? The Hudson River is there, so they're there to find food, although I wouldn't know what kind of food would be not toxic.
Dirty water dogs coming
out of the Hudson River. But I guess if you went to a stand and got a dirty water dog, that's what we call it. Those little street carts, and you could get a hot dog on the corner. Dirty water dogs. But they're probably just as toxic as the fish that come out of the Hudson River. Let's see here. A bald eagle perched regally on a branch in Central Park and was spotted and photographed. The mighty bird rested on the trees north of the West 81st Street entrance to the park. So again, everybody's rushing over to take pictures of these birds, and we want to just make sure that people are staying a fair distance apart from them so that we give them room to breathe and they feel safe
there. And they don't get COVID
there
either, because you can get COVID to animals too. That's good.
Yes, you can. I don't really know about that, but I guess you can. I don't know if we'd get closer than 6 feet, though, to an eagle or an owl. I don't know.
I have. but I'm eagle clad.
You have not. Quote, bald eagles are occasionally seen flying over Central Park in the colder months, said David Barrett, the photographer of the Central Park Eagle and also the founder of the popular Manhattan Bird Alert account on Twitter. So this has been tweeted out, and all these bird enthusiasts are coming to Central Park. So I'm sure it's a really fun thing to see, and I'm glad that there's wildlife in Central Park again, and the birds are flocking there, and maybe we'll see even more. But I can't even believe that it's since 1890 that a snowy owl has been seen in Central Park. I'm wondering if it's because of COVID.
I don't know.
And because maybe things are kind of quieter and it's not so crazy in Central Park and the birds can maybe sense that. I mean, I'm just guessing, and that's just my guess.
I hate to tell you what owls, when you see an owl in our tribe, what that means, but that'll
means.
Be a different show. But
can I say what it means?
No. So why don't we bring Ogama back and we'll end the show here.
Sounds Ogama. Good.
Well, hey, great show, guys.
Even though we do say so ourselves, I think it was a great show. Great inputs or any last minute things that you weren't able to talk about before we end the show in a good way?
Yeah, just make sure to go on to Native Roots Radio's Facebook page and learn and share the water song or the Nibbe song so that you can record yourself singing it. We know Native people love TikTok. So take to TikTok with the Nibbe song, everybody.
Well, hey, I got it on TikTok, and all you have to do is find it and then maybe sing along with it, because you can share the screen on TikTok and sing it away. And so maybe I'll have Wendy do that later tonight.
Not with my voice. I don't have a good singing voice. Oh. I don't even have a good talking voice.
Wow.
That's a positive affirmation.
I don't know what to say about that.
Here we go. Listen, this is beautiful.
I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to this show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. Again, you've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Wakunja Hade. The revolution is kicking into high gear, and I'd like to thank our guests, Robert Lilligren, Tara Hauska, and also Wendy Pilot and Ogama. If you're listening to this show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.